digging wells. I had to turn the recorder on. So Robin read, I'll have to switch Bibles. Robin read out of 2 James, or 2 Peter. There is no 2 James. 2 Peter 2, 15 through 18. And I would like to kind of touch on a couple things there. Digging wells. So in this scripture, it says in 2 Peter 2:17, these are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness and darkness forever. 19 out of the NIV says they promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity, for people are slaves to whatever has mastered them. The CSB Bible says to whatever defeats them. To whatever defeats them. And we can be defeated so easy unless we are prepared. And that's what this message is about today. To be prepared. You cannot wait until you're thirsty to begin digging a well. You just can't wait. You're in a desert. You know you're going to need water. You got to dig that well. So when you become thirsty, you can rely on that water. And for us, that water, that well is Jesus Christ. You likely die of thirst before you get the water you need. Before you dig that well, if you don't get digging it. You got to prepare ahead of time before the need arises. And there are times of spiritual thirst. If we wait until such times to dig our wells, we may be too late. So we need to begin digging our wells now. Our scripture today is John 4, 13 through 15. And I pulled it from the NLT. And it says, Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." 15 says, "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water, then I never will be thirsty again, and I don't have to come here to get water." And that comes from the story of the woman at the well. From the woman at the well. So let me ask you, are you digging your wells before you're becoming thirsty? Are you digging them? So why do we need to dig these wells? The number one well we have to dig is for the day of judgment. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, whether you're saved or not. For the day of judgment, when the world will be judged and everyone will stand before Jesus Christ. Acts 7, 30 and 31 says, "Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man who he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." And that's talking about Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ." This right here, church, is for believers. This is for believers. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now, as believers, when we go and we're going to kneel before Jesus, we're not going to be judged on our sin because it's forgiven. We're going to be held accountable on what we've done for Christ since we got saved. What we have done. Do we just get saved and we just sit around and do nothing? Talked about this yesterday in the Bible study. What are we doing for God? What are we doing for Jesus? We just sitting around and just getting blessings. Hey, we're saved, we're good. No. Because we're going to be held accountable. Now, the sad one. For those who don't believe. For those who have never received Jesus Christ. Matthew 7, 21, 23 out of the NIV. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doer. Hebrews 9:27 says, just as people are destined to die once and after that, face judgment. See, this is going to be a day of salvation and glory for those who have accepted Jesus and a condemnation for those who have rejected him. Every knee is going to bow. And Romans 14:11 says, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. And then in 7:23, Matthew says, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So it will be way too late to begin to dig a well if you're standing in front of Jesus. It's going to be too late. That's why it's so important that we get out there and we share Jesus Christ. That we share the love of God. That we do his will. That we do what he wants. Because as Jesus said, right, many's going to say to me, Lord, Lord, I knew you were there. I knew about you. I even helped the church. Or I helped my neighbor. Doesn't matter. That's works. Without Jesus, he's going to say, I never knew you. Because we need to accept him. That's the number one well we have to dig, is to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's the number one well we have to dig. Without that well, without Jesus Christ, we can't dig any other ones that we're going to talk about. We got to have that one. We need to dig wells for the times of temptation. The Christian life's full of temptation. Everybody agree? Oh yeah, it's full of temptation. Right? Why? Because of the devil and our own fleshly desires. It's part of the sin nature. And we have to be careful because we got to be alert and a sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Let me ask you a question. I want to see a show of hands. How many people have your Bible today? Oh. So when we come to church, shouldn't we bring a Bible? Eventually we're going to have Bibles in the chairs or pews, whatever we do. Yes, I put scripture up on the screen. But when you got a Bible in your hand, you open it, right? You read that word. So when the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, I got a well. Smack him with it. Amen. I got a well. Right? For those times of temptation, when feel like we're being tempted with anything, where do we go? To the fire. Jesus said, for it is written, when the devil was tempting me. For it is written. That's God's word. That's where we need to go. I take some of the blame for not having Bibles. Because I put it up on here and I've always been against it. I don't know why I changed it. I don't know. Not yet. James 1:13-14 says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil. We see that when Jesus was in the wilderness with the devil, right? Nor does he tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Would it be safe to say that we allow ourselves to be tempted sometimes? Absolutely. we put ourselves into situations where we can fall into that temptation. We put ourselves into our own evil desires. Our temptation should never be taken lightly, because a small temptation, you know, like, nah, that's not a big deal. I'm good with that one. Right? I walk away from that temptation. Those small little temptations keep building and building and building. And you fall. Right? And then you fall. If we don't have a well dug to combat those temptations, if we're not walking in the Lord, if we're not staying in God's Word, then when those little temptations come, we're going to fall into little temptations. Because you have nothing to rely on. We have nothing to rely on. And when a big one comes, oh, you better believe you're going to fall into that one. Because we're not walking correctly, because we're not staying in God's Word. Does anybody read the Bible enough? No. Does anybody pray enough? No, we don't. And I say we. I say we. You know, we can be hardened by deceitfulness of sin. We can be hardened to that. And could fall away during that time of temptation. We have to keep our hearts towards God and not let it get hard by sin. By the things that we're seeing in the world, by the things that we're doing in the world. We just can't set ourselves up for defeat. Hebrews 3, 12 through 13, NIV. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. What makes it unbelieving? When we don't see things that God's doing. And why don't we see things that God's doing? Because we're not walking with Him close enough. He's still doing them. He's still answering prayer. But when we don't see it, we get discouraged. And then we get into sin. 13 says, but encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We got to dig a well right now for that hour of temptation. For that hour of temptation. So what else do we dig wells for? Tribulation. Tribulation and trials. And we all go through them all the time. Right? All the time. Life's not always easy. You know, we all go through the hardships and trials because we all share the frailties of life. Right? We lose people that we love. That's a tribulation. Right? We lose jobs. We lose all kinds of stuff that hurts us. We lose friendships. It's part of life. It's part of life, and it's a frailty of life. There's sickness and pain and death and economic recession. Like I said, loss of job, terrorism, war, natural disasters. Look what's happening around the world right now. The West is burning. Burning. New York's getting flooded. Haiti just had a massive earthquake. Look around the world of the things that are happening, church. We're this close. And Jesus tells us that we're going to go through these things. He says, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So that's Jesus saying, in me you may have peace. How do we have that peace? We've got to dig that well, right? We've got to dig that well. It all comes back to what? Jesus. That well of living water is Jesus. All the wells that we have to dig surround Jesus Christ.
His Word. He is the Word.
Do you have a well dug to get you through all that life throws at you? Do you have that well dug? Through God's Word. Through prayer. You have to have a deep well full of living water from Jesus, for when that drought comes,
because it's going to come. The drought is going to come. And as we read in 17, these are wells without water. If we're digging, which if we're just saying, I need prayer more, I need to get God's Word more, we're digging, there's no water. There's no water.
And what happens when there's no water?
We fall in that well, we get all busted up. Because we hit the bottom. We hit the dirt.
So, now the good part. How do we dig these wells? Well, we got to prepare for judgment. Right? You got to know that God sent His only Son as an atonement for our sin. 1 John 4, 9, 10 says, this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Once again, you got to have Jesus first to dig any other well. He's the shovel. And without Him, you are standing around with your hands in your pockets. Jesus Christ is the shovel to dig our wells. Without it, dare I say, like PennDOT.
Well, that's going to be on the website.
But we have to respond to the gospel of His grace. We have to. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Baptized into the name of Jesus Christ. We have to accept Jesus Christ into our hearts. Or all the other wells are going to stay dry. They're all going to stay dry. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into His grace, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We can't stand by ourselves before a well. We can't. We can't stand with our hands in our pockets. We got to stand in God's grace and rejoice in His hope. 2 Timothy 1:14 says, that good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. If we're not digging a well for all life that throws at us, we're quenching the Spirit. Right? We're quenching the Spirit. We're keeping that Spirit down. Because once we accept Jesus Christ, we got the Holy Spirit. But if we're not doing those things that He wants us to do, we're keeping that Spirit quenched. We're standing around with our hands in our pockets. Right? The homeless guy sitting there with the sign after that song, it starts right here, church. It does. It starts with us, with the Christians, with the body of Christ. God gave me a vision and put it on my heart to not avoid that, to help the communities in need, to help those in need, not to walk past somebody. And Jesus said, somebody needs a coat, give them a coat. Don't just say, I'll pray for you, I'll see you later. Right? What kind of well is that? And I said, I made that mistake once and I'll never make it again. Rita and I were coming out of a Trans-Siberian Orchestra concert. at PPG. Some of you may have heard this. I'm walking down the street. We're walking down the street. There's a young girl standing outside of a bar like this. I'm so hungry. Do you have any money? What would be the first thing that comes to your mind? She wants to go and get a drink. I had $4 in my pocket. Four $1 bills. I'll never forget it as long as I live. Because it happened again to me, and then that was a little bit more money. I walked past her. We both walked past her. We got in the car, and God was like, "You failed. You failed." It was an angel. I bought that heart attack. I'm like, now what? We got to dig those wells by doing what God wants us to do. It's not always monetary. Give a coat. Right? Give a coat to somebody in need. Plus pray for them. We were coming home from South Carolina. We stopped in Sheets. I carried it from home on me, but it's in my briefcase. So I carried these little Bibles. And God says, "Give that guy a Bible." He was sitting there drinking a big gulp. Walked up and gave him a bottle. He says, "Thank you so much. Does this come with any money?" I'm like, "No. There's a bottle. God said, give it to me." So I go in. I put $10 in the scratch-off machine. I get a scratch-off. Scratch it off. And meanwhile, this isn't very long ago. Scratch it off. I won $30. I'm like, yeah. Cashed it in, got our gas, we're pulling away. God's like, "Where are you going?" I'm like, "Going home." "No, you're not. That's not your money. That's not your $30. I looked at Leah, I said, "God wants me to give that guy this money." So I went up and I said, "Here, God wants us to give me to give this to you." It wasn't my money. We never know. We never know, and we won't know unless we have gloves on. You got to be prepared to hear God's voice. You got to be prepared, and you can't be prepared if you're not digging the wells to do it. We're back to temptation. We have to prepare. Well, you have to know that God sent His only Son in atonement for our sin, and that's how we prepare for judgment. We have to prepare for temptation. When we dig our well and prepare for the temptations that come our way, we have to remember what God has provided. His providence. He will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able to handle. He works all things for good for those who love Him. That is a fallacy. It is untrue. For God will never give you more than you can handle. Yes, He will. Because He wants you to rely on Him. That gets us closer to Him. But He will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can handle. And He's always going to give us a way out, which is prayer. Which is prayer. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." He's given us His Spirit to help us overcome. He strengthens us on the inside through the Holy Spirit. But if we're quenching that Spirit, if we're not doing the things that God wants us to do, we're not going to overcome. Because we're quenching the Spirit. We're not digging that well to overcome. We're just not doing it. He gives us His family to support us in a time of need. Ephesians 3:16 says, "I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power and through His Spirit in your inner being." And 1 John 3:1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. The reason the world doesn't know us is that they don't know Him. His family. Fellowship. The fellowship that we had yesterday was awesome.
was awesome. And we have to be thankful for those who came and pray for those who didn't. It was awesome. We always have fellowship of believers that we can rely on. Come on in. Hello?
Now we're good. Robin, we're good. We're good.
Yeah.
So support us in time of need. We need other believers to
call upon. Right?
We have to dig a well. We have to surround ourselves with other believers. If we're surrounding ourselves, we have nowhere to go. And he gave us his son as our advocate and propitiation. John 1. 1 John 2, 1 and 2. My dear children, I write this so you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifices for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. The whole world. But he can only be our advocate if we receive him. If not, we're flapping in the wind. So how do we do all this? We got to put it into action. We got to pray so we don't give in to temptation. We got to be filled with the Holy Spirit by absorbing his word, right? You receive Jesus Christ, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you stay in his word, you stay in prayer. Develop and strengthen relationships in the body of Christ and commune with God in prayer. In the body of Christ. We all have friends outside the church, right? But if we need help, if we need some advice, we need to go to those in church. And we talked about this last week. We get worldly advice. We don't want worldly advice. Repent and confess. When you sin, tell God you are sorry. How many people do that? Every time we screw up, we got to say, God, I'm sorry. We have to. It's not just a one-time thing. Yes, we're forgiven, whether we ask or not, but we need to go to God and confess him. And confess him. That's how we put that into action. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Preparing for tribulation. We got to have hope. We have to have hope in time of need. Amen? We have to have that hope that we got to stay in prayer. We got to have peace that only Christ can offer. We can't find our peace outside of Christ. We'll never have peace. Strength found only in Christ. Preparing for tribulation. We got to go to him for strength. And he is the only one that provides true comfort. They comfort with these words of encouragement. Paul tells us that in 1 Thessalonians. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who what?
Strengthens me.
It's only through him. So what's our part? And I'm going to close up with this. What's our part? We got to focus our hope. We got to set our hope and minds on the grace of Jesus. Amen? Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed in his coming. We have to nurture our peace. How do we nurture our peace? Through fervent
prayer. Philippians 4:6, everybody knows it. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. We have to develop our strength. We have to put on the armor of God. And once again, this is so important. Build a network of believers. Have your circle of friends be believers. Be believers. So, if you paid attention to this message, you can see that God's provided the means to dig the wells that we need to fulfill our spiritual thirst. He's provided everything that we need. John 4:13-14 says, Jesus answered, this is our key scripture, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. So, church, do you need to dig some wells? Or do you need to redig the well of our Heavenly Father? You got to redig some wells. Have you let the wells of salvation that God so graciously provides to be stopped up through your own spiritual neglect? Use the means that Jesus has given us through the cross, right? And be ready at all times. Remember what God has provided. I'm going to ask now, if you need prayer, you need to dig that well of salvation, that you haven't asked Jesus for forgiveness and to be your Lord and Savior, to come up so you can have that main well that you need to dig all the other wells. If you don't have that, or you want to come up for prayer, come on up at this time. And God bless. So we're going to dig some wells this week?
Yep.
Huh? We're going to dig some wells this week?
Yes.
Amen. Got to get them wells dug, right? So we don't have to be of the world, right? We need to be in Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So I just thank you all for coming today. And is everything okay?
Okay.
And I just... What?
I don't want
to just... It's good. It's all good. So... Let's just close our eyes and bow our heads and just give the Lord thanks in prayer. Father God, we come to you right now again, Lord, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the service, Lord. We just ask that you give us what we need this week, Lord, that you just bless each person here, Lord, that your light shine through each and every person, Lord, that your name will be magnified, Lord, as you are worthy to be magnified. Lord, I ask you to bless each person here, Lord. Give them what they need to dig their wells, Lord, to fill them with the living water of you. Lord, protect them, bless them. Lord, bring them back Wednesday evening for Bible study. And then again on church on Sunday. Just walk with them and bless them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Be blessed, everybody.